Hi, this is Tom Rotolo, founder of CityQuake. Welcome to our podcast where we feature messages that will change your life. I believe that Christians around the world are way overfed with teaching and way underactivated. What do I mean by that? We don't put that teaching to practice in our everyday life, and it actually makes us worse off. We know biblical truth, but it has not actually transformed our life. Well, I've chosen messages for these podcasts that will inspire you and challenge you to live out your identity as a believer filled with the Spirit of God. It's time to not just fill seats at church anymore. It's time to see our cities transformed for the kingdom of God. Get ready to be activated.
Welcome. This is the Kingdom Business Network call. I'm Tom Rotolo, and we are on here to specifically, I believe that the Lord has raised up Kingdom Business Network so that it unplugs something. And let me talk about what I mean by that, because I believe every ministry I've started, every download the Lord's given me has been, there's been a purpose for it in the body of Christ. And the purpose for the Kingdom Business Network is simply to unplug one specific thing. It's to unplug the person at work who is not quite able to get there in terms of being used by God at work to have Jesus Lord and to bring that lordship into their workplace. And so what we've done is we've set up these calls every 3-4 weeks or so to have someone share who's learned this process, who's learned how to walk with the Lord in the workplace, taking risks. It's fearful. You could get in trouble. You can offend people, whatever. Hopefully we will do it in the hopefully the only offense will not be us and how we come across, but as we put on love, the offense will be that if there is an offense, it's the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's an okay fence, because that's what we're here for. He went to the cross for us. I think we can, in a loving way, see people have to struggle with their Savior wanting to who's knocking on the door of their heart. So anyway, that's the Kingdom Business Network. That's a little bit of a nutshell. Today we have John Sirachek, who's up here in Rhode Island. I happen to be up here in Rhode Island as well, but not with him. So we're at different locations. But I just had a pastors and leaders meeting up here that went very well, thinking about trying to get something for the New England, a city quake for New England, Massachusetts, Rhode Island area. So if you're in that area, let me know about that, because we could sure use some help. Anyway, there's still people jumping on, so welcome those that have just joined us. I think everybody should be muted on this, except, oh, John, I've got to find you and unmute you. John, let me see. Okay. Oh, hold on a second here. I hit the wrong person. John, are you unmuted? Okay, there you are. Okay, got it. So anyway, I'd like to introduce John Sirachek. He's the founder of Browning Associates, and I could tell you a little bit more about him because I've known him now for, John, when did we first really connect? It was about, was it a year ago?
Close to,
or even less than.
Maybe it was less.
So John is here, and you know what I have to find out, is there a way to, I don't even know if there's a way to have two people on the screen at the same time, but anyway, I'll figure that out, but hopefully before our next call. But John, I'm just so glad, because ever since even before we started Kingdom Business Network, I've been wanting you to share. I know you shared real quick on our first call last month, we had you on and you shared a little bit. And I felt like that was just a too much of a tease. You have too much to share. And so I first want to have you just share real quick about your background, because you have a pretty kind of crazy background, and people might think of you as like one of the last people that should be a Christian, but Jesus reached down and grabbed a hold of you. Yeah. So come on and share with us about your background, John.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. You know,
I figured it out. That worked.
Can you hear me?
That worked. We're both on. Yeah.
Oh, look, how cool is that? There you are.
Wow.
It's funny when I see you guys on this, I feel like a kid in the sandbox. You know, Jesus has just given me this childlike faith. And I tell people, Jesus turned my frown upside down, you know. And I don't know if I can say this, but somebody recently said to me, Jesus turned my poop into chicken soup. I don't know. Is it okay to say poop, Tom? I'm not sure.
I think so. I think there's a lot worse you could do,
John. I'm sorry. Yeah. But, you know, it's so true, though, you know. And there is a four-letter F word that I never use anymore, and it's fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. How about forget everything and run? And you know, I think that's what prevents us from sharing Christ in the workplace. It's fear, you know?
Share a little bit about your background, John. Just real quick, because I know I want to get into the workplace stuff, but
yeah, let me
share about like coming to the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. So 15 years ago, I was in a locked psychiatric unit. I was in a locked unit. They were giving me 3 hots and a cot. I had completely lost my mind. I tried to be master of the universe. I used to tell people the Holy Trinity was me, myself, and I. And I just wrecked my entire life. My first wife died of a heroin overdose. My son almost died of a heroin overdose, but he was saved by Christ. He went through a program called Teen Challenge. So 15 years ago, I was in a very dark place. And the exact church that Tom is sitting in right now is the church that I crawled into 15 years ago.
I forgot this is the place that you came into. Wow.
That's the place. And that gal sitting right next to you saved my life. I wish I could. I'm going to give her a big Jesus hug when I see her. You tell her. But I crawled into that particular church. Now, I had never been in a church before. I've been to weddings and funerals, but this is a Pentecostal church, guys. These people were way too happy about something. I mean, I'm walking in there, I'm suicidal, I'm broken. They're doing backflips off the pews, and they're just, I honestly thought, and this is not even a joke, I thought they were cheering for the keyboard player, okay? I said to myself, you know, Pastor Doug, I love you, but you're not that good. You're just not. But I really had no idea why they were so excited. And all I could think about was, I don't belong here. You know, my hair is going to catch on fire. These people are holy rollers. Wait, if they find out anything about my background, I'm sure they're going to ask me to leave. And that's just what I started to do. I started to leave. And this guy in front of me put his hands in the air. And he had tattoos on his hands. And I thought, why would he be here? A guy with tattoos, you know? And that's what kept me in the place that day. And at the end of it, as I was running for the exit sign, I mean, literally, I was out of there. My friend that brought me grabbed me by the back of the neck, and they kind of blocked the door, and they took me to the front of the church, and they said, John wants to be born again. And I had a cousin who had born again stickers on his car, like Jesus stickers, and it freaked me out. I would never wear a shirt that says anything about Jesus. You should see me now, man. I am. But anyway, I just went to the front and they prayed. And the next morning when I woke up, something changed. I felt something. I didn't know what it was. The depression was lifted. I didn't even feel like taking my 25 pills that I had to take just to get out of bed in the morning. And I went back to that church and I said, look, I don't know what you did yesterday. I don't know what happened, but I ain't leaving. And Doreen will tell you, I ain't left. Now that was a Monday morning, and I've been going there ever since. And my first year as a Christian, everybody in my family said, don't worry, John's gonna calm down. He's going through the honeymoon stage. Because I was chasing people down the road with my Bible. I would shove it down your throat. I would get you born again, whether you liked it or not. You don't have a choice. But I got to tell you, 15 years later, I'm worse now. I am more excited now than I was 15 years ago. Why wouldn't I be? I know him more now. Right? But I have to tell you, there was a short period of time where I fell into the regimen of being a Christian. I wasn't out there praying for the sick. I was going to Bible studies. I was going to church on Sunday. I used to do what I call dissect the word. I would dissect the word. But when you dissect something, you kill it. And I became spiritually, I was theologically sound, but I was spiritually bound. I knew I didn't belong sitting in a pew. There had to be more than this. So that's when I started to step out. And I was a very shy, very introverted person. I started by blessing people. I'm gonna tell you, if you live in Rhode Island, and if you say God bless you to somebody, you better hope they sneezed first, because otherwise they're gonna think you're crazy. People don't use the word God here. You don't hear that unless they use it in a swear word. You know, they say Jesus Christ when they stub their toe, but that's about the only time. But I started blessing people. I felt God say to me, John, you are anointed and appointed to bless. And when I look the girl in the eyes at the coffee shop and I say, God bless you, God bless you, I feel that the angels in heaven are singing. And I can't tell you how many times all I've had to say is God bless you. And so I've seen people cry in Walmart. Yeah. I had one lady say to me,
Go ahead. I was gonna move you ahead a little bit, but keep, go ahead. One lady said at Walmart, go ahead.
One lady said to me, God has blessed me. He gave me, I've been going to Catholic Church for 20 years. And I said, do you have a Bible? She says, no, I've never had a Bible. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now I know where she works. She's in aisle 13. I bring her a Bible. Okay. I love to bless people in the place of business because I can go back. I know where they work. I know their work schedule. You can't get away. I'm coming back and I'm going to keep blessing you until you say yes to my Savior. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. So then at some point you start Browning Associates. Yeah. How long ago was that, John?
So, about 9 years ago, I had brought Jesus into every part of my life, okay? When I went into Walmart, and even today, if I go into Walmart, people think I'm a pastor. People think I'm a priest. We're 70% Catholic in Rhode Island. People want me to bless their tattoos. They want me to do weddings. I said, look, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a normal Christian. That's, you know? And so yes.
I want to keep moving you toward work, though, but I guess.
Here we go. Here's the business piece.
You have so much to say.
Anyway, I brought Jesus into every part of my life but the business. And that was scary for me because that is how I feed my family. So what we did about 8 years ago is we sent a Christmas card. We call it a Christmas card. We sent it to 8,000 clients, 7,600 clients. These are people that have paid us money. They've been our clients for years. And we sent a card. We put John 14:27 right across the bottom. And it did not go over well. I've got a lot of feedback from different people. One lady called me and said, you shouldn't be mixing Jesus. I'm a Buddhist. I'm an atheist. One of my salespeople called me and said she lost two clients. I lost two clients because of this. And this continued. This went on for about 6 months. About a year into this, we were putting Bible scriptures on the website. We pray for every single client, and our business just started to crash, honestly. My wife came to me one morning and she said, John, I am convinced that you have scared people away. What about the Muslims and the Buddhists and the atheists and the agnostic? You look like a church. If I go to your website, I don't know if you're a church or you're a business. What are you? And she said, here's what we want to do. We want to give you a new website. We want to take Jesus off the main page and we're going to put him in his own little box. And just like the Apostle Peter, I got scared and I said, okay. And we took Jesus off of anything. Now, guys, I was a year into this. I was barely making payroll. I see some Browning employees on this call, and they know what I'm talking about. But about a week, 2 weeks went by, and I said, no, I can't do it. And I put Jesus back. And for the next 2 years, I was pawning jewelry and things that I owned to make payroll. And everybody that worked for me was convinced if you would just go back to being a business, you're not a church. It's not going to work, John. But somehow I thank God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving me the courage and the strength and the faith. And then one day, this man walked into my office. His name is Michael Marigan. He's now our company president. He came in looking for a job, and I was going to offer him a position, but I found out he was just fired from IBM. He was fired from IBM, and this guy was living in a halfway house. But God said, hire him to take over your sales. I said, God, you want me to hire a guy living in a room with 12 alcoholics? He's living in a room the size of my bathroom. He didn't have a computer. He had no cell phone. I hired Mike Marigan because I felt God told me to. And I bought Mike Marigan a cell phone, and I bought Mike Marigan a laptop computer, and he sat in that little room, and the first year he worked here, he made $150,000. This whole thing just turned right around. Suddenly we're signing up atheists, we're signing up Muslims, we're praying for Muslims. We have people that come on and say, I don't want you to pray. We pray anyway, and they accept Jesus. Listen, you have to trust the Lord. You have to trust him when time gets hard. Fear is false evidence appearing real. That's all it is. And today, in my business today, I have not had anybody quit this company. I have never had to fire anybody. I don't even reprimand anybody. We only have two requirements at Browning Associates. Number one, you have to come to prayer. Every morning at 9 a.m. we pray. Number one, and you cannot work on your Sabbath. Whatever your Sabbath day is, nobody works 7 days a week. That's the only rules you have to follow.
So John, tell some stories like about you're talking to people about Jesus, you're praying for people. Some people are these are professional business people, and I'm sure the people that are on the call right now are thinking, man, how do I do this at my job? How do I do this? I mean you're obviously the founder of the company, so nobody can fire you. People can leave you and you can lose business, but they can't fire you. But maybe just share with us a couple of the stories of what happened as you're there ministering, because I know this is an ongoing thing, but maybe share a couple of those stories with us.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened is we started, when we were praying about this, the first thing that God gave us was to stop. We changed our company questionnaire. We asked new clients questions, and we put in some questions about religion. We asked them, are you a spiritual person? That's the question God gave us. Start asking your clients, are you spiritual? And we found by just asking that question, people would really open up to us, and people were more receptive to hearing the gospel than we thought. At that point, I started praying that God would send people to Browning Associates that would have the courage to ask our clients if we can pray for them. So it all started by asking them, it sounds very silly, but we just said, are you a spiritual person? And that would open the conversation around where they were spiritually. Some people would say, yes, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been to church in 20 years. Some would say I'm Buddhist. They would say all different things, but that would stop the question. Now, the title of today's message is this. Here are six words. These are six words that changed the lives of hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And they're words you've heard before. We don't ask our clients, we don't say, how are you doing? We say, how may we pray for you? Now, you may think that's bold. It may feel awkward. You may even think it's silly. But I promise you this, as simple as that sounds, Jesus does not complicate things. How may I pray for you? We just started asking everybody. If there's somebody in your place of business, okay, Maybe you start a conversation with, you know, are you a spiritual person? What are your beliefs? I'm just curious. Start that conversation. If you're having a conversation with somebody, trying to find their pain points, are they going through a divorce? Are they struggling with addiction? Do they know somebody? Everybody out there, guys, is in pain. When you ask somebody, how are you doing? They're going to say, fine. It's the biggest lie on the planet. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's hurt. So how may I pray
for you? So give us some examples. Do you have any specific stories of people that you reached out to, or maybe your employees have reached out to and said, how can I pray for you? And what's happened from that?
Yeah, we have dozens and dozens. So I have a client recently who was recently fired from his job. And when I hear that somebody's fired, the first thing I want to do is I want to leverage that pain. And I say to him, I say, listen, I want you to know that I lost my job prior to starting this business. And that also led me into a divorce. And he said to me, what did you do? And I said, I prayed. I asked Jesus to help me. And he said, that's all there is to it. And I said, yes. And I led him to the Lord right there and then, you know, I said, so it was basically just always looking for a way to find my way in. And I always give God the glory for my story. You know, really.
You know, it's interesting, John, that when you said before about the pain, you know, there's some people that are, especially in the business world, people that are successful business people, that they're almost impossible to talk to about the Lord. But it's at the point that their life begins to go down the tubes, that's when they're open. That's when they're like, hold it, I've been building my own little kingdom here, and it's not working. I wasn't able to hold it together. They lost their job. So you actually get them right at a good time. That they're hurting, but like you said, you're not wanting to like manipulate them with their pain, but you're wanting to offer them the solution that they've needed the whole time. They just didn't even see it. That's awesome. Did you have another story? I didn't mean to interrupt you here, That's just such a great point.
So, and something we have to remember, all through the Bible, Jesus told us just tell your story and give God the glory, right? I mean, we all have a testimony. People can argue the Bible, but they will not. They can't argue your story. Your story is what Jesus did in your life. So, I don't work with the clients as much as I used to, but everybody in my company prays for their clients. Okay, but I was at Walmart not recently, and I was coming through aisle 13, and I said to the woman was, "How may I pray for you?" That was it. She started.
You just approached a woman that you didn't know there, and you just started talking to this woman. Yeah.
She was the cashier. I'm coming through the line. Okay. So I'm paying her my money. And I said, you know, I want to ask you something. I bet no one's ever asked you this before. And she says, what? I says, how may I pray for you? She started to cry. She came around. She fell into my arms. The blue light, you know, that blue light goes on. They shut the whole aisle down. I found out that her four-year-old son had just drowned in a swimming pool. Her husband left her with a five-month-old baby. Okay, and that woman today, that woman is on Facebook posting Bible scriptures. Now, had I gone through and said to her, "How are you doing?" You know what she would have said? She would have said, "I'm fine." Guys, nobody's fine. How are you doing? It's the worst thing you can say. Stop saying it. It's the biggest lie on the planet. We have to switch it up. How may I pray for you? Not how are you doing. Yeah. Don't even do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. You know, John, as folks are on this call, we've got about five more minutes until we break up into our groups. But I'm wondering what's going through the mind. It's almost like I can hear them like, how can I do this on my job? Like I said, I'm not the owner of the company. I work for somebody. I have a manager. I have a boss. We're told, you know, don't bring up religion at work, whatever. I know you went through that crisis. I mean, you kind of started stepping out there and being more vocal about Jesus. And so kind of tell us more about that. I mean, that was some scary steps that you took.
Yeah. So, Tom, I have a website, and on my website, I have actual videos where I go out into the street, and this is the prayer you need to start saying. This is the answer to your question, Tom. Start praying this one prayer. Say, Father, put somebody in my path and give me the words to speak. Again, it's very, very simple. There's no tricks, there's no pills, no potions, no lotion. Father, put somebody in my path, Lord. Stop praying for somebody at work. Stop praying that God will lead you to somebody. Holy Spirit is bigger than your corporate bureaucracy. Holy Spirit's bigger than your boss. If you lose your job, you know what? First of all, you'll be my hero. But you can come to Browning Associates. We'll find you a new job. Honestly, we'll find you a new job.
Little promo there.
Give God the glory, man. But honestly, start saying that prayer. Say, Father, put somebody in my path and give me the words to use. Tom, let me say this. Yeah. I have videos on my website where I go out into the city of Atlanta with my camera going, and I start praying, God, send me people, and people are running out of the bushes. You can see it on my videos. These people are coming. God will send them, guys. Don't overcomplicate this. We don't do evangelism. We're not evangelists. We're Christians. We're little Christ-like ones. We shine his glory wherever we go, and they're attracted to us like a moth to the flame. You see, we're not doing evangelism, right?
You know, John, what you just said, that prayer, John and I have not talked about this ahead of time, what he was going to share, but that prayer that you just talked about of, Lord, just put somebody in front of me. It does two things. One, it's asking the Lord to put there in front of him the people, especially because the Lord's working every day for people all around us, whether people we know at work, people we don't know, the coffee shop, wherever. He's putting people in front of us. But on the other hand, what that prayer does, it gets us in, like, it gets our antenna up. It's like, okay, no, I'm asking the Lord, put somebody in front of me. And so my antenna that's up is, okay, who's he going to answer my prayer with and get me thinking about? And when we do that, when we put ourselves, we're not just in neutral, we're kind of moving, and we're looking. And that, to me, that is huge, John. I think that just one piece right there could change the lives of those on this call, those that listen to this call later on. It could absolutely transform them because it puts you, if you're moving and you're expecting, God's going to show up. And he's going to put somebody in my path today.
Every time. It never fails.
Every time.
I would challenge anybody. You come with me. We'll go out. We'll pray and watch. He'll send them. Because the reason God hasn't sent them yet, Tom, it's because we are so hung up in how, what, and why. It's not how, what, and why, God. It's ready, willing, and able. When he knows you're ready, you step out. He'll step in. We can't walk on water if we're standing inside the pews. And guys, if we don't look different, if we don't act different, we can't make a difference. God is just waiting with open arms for us to step out. It's amazing. You don't have to worry about your corporate politics and protocol. Just Holy Spirit is way bigger than that.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast today. If this message has impacted your life, we invite you to check out citiquake.org. Just so you know, our policy here at CityQuake is to offer messages like this one for no charge. Why is that? We want to bless as many people as possible. Would you consider sewing into CityQuake today to help us get these messages out to even more folks out there? Also on the CityQuake website, you'll be able to find links to testimonies of what God has done out there in the streets and also find out our CityQuake schedule. That's CityQuake.org. Until next time.